At California Psychics, we know that sometimes you can wake up thinking,
ugh, I don't know if I'm in the right career. Ew. Or the right relationship.
But whatever your life dilemma, at California Psychics, we'll give you the guidance you need to feel certain about your life choices. And because we only connect you with the very best, we guarantee if your reading isn't life-changing, it's free. California Psychics. Call 1-800-PREDICT today and get 20 minutes for just $20.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
I think plus minus kind of tell you a lot.
Murray steps back. Bang! 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 Exclamation point!
The plus minus statistic.
It's a stat that tells the truth.
Are you a believer in that statistic?
You tell me. I know it's good to be a plus.
It's Warriors plus minus.
Plus minus, plus minus.
Warriors plus minus is back. I got my guy TK this time. No flying solo. How was your vacation?
Still going, MT. Still going. Decided to pop back in. I think
you killed your PTO.
Ready. To, well, I was not riding. A couple more days of riding, but dropped back in for a little Warriors talk. Why not? But it was good. It was good. A couple of Lake Tahoe, a little LA, some good times. So
I'm ready. Out there with Curry?
Fired. No, not with Curry. I don't hit the ball out of bounds on 18.
Ouch.
I also don't hit the ball as far as he does. I don't make as many buzzes as he does, but I will not hit the ball out of bounds on 18. But I see part eight, hard 18th hole yesterday down in San Clemente. I'll tell you, put it that way. So
I will tell you, though, you have missed so much Warriors action on this.
So much. So much.
A lot has happened. We're going to fill you in. But first, man, this is going to be good news for a lot of people because lots of people think Warriors plus minus might be dead, according to my Twitter followers. But no, we are not dead. We will go on. It will be a tough loss. But Warriors plus minus is here. Unless you're going to leave me, TK, or you dipping? Are you going to leave me, or what's happening?
I'm weighing many, many incredibly huge offers for other podcasts, MT. You should know that. But I have decided to use my rights to come back to the Warriors. To the Warriors plus minus pod. I'm exposed. I have you on restricted free agent, MT. I'm going to match any offer you got, so you can't leave. So we're going to.
I don't know if you've heard, but the restricted free agent market is not looking good right now.
It's tough.
It's not.
So somehow Slater slipped out of this. I'm not sure how that all happened, but
Slater was unrestricted.
Unrestricted. He got a good agent. He's got a good agent.
He was unrestricted. Yeah. He it didn't happen. He waited for, you know, he signed his qualifying offer and did his time.
Are we announcing that he will not? He cannot be on Warriors Plus Minus anymore. That is, we would.
I mean,
love
it's just what it is. Yeah. It's just what it is.
We would love to have him on. He is a huge part. We'll have him back on one more time. We will. Hey, you and I started this MT 2014. We'll keep going. This is. Yeah, I didn't even think about it. We're well past the 10-year mark. We're not going anywhere. Warriors Plus Minus is keeping going. That's why I decided to come back from vacation. Make sure we had our voices back out there, letting it loud and clear. Before maybe I disappear for a little bit, for a little 49ers training camp.
Shoot, I was thinking I need to disappear. I don't know if I can now, man. What's happening?
We'll still be doing some shows. Warriors aren't going to start doing stuff finally at some point, so we will have things to talk about. It wasn't a terrible time to miss. The Warriors have not added anybody. They've lost Kevon Looney, and they've lost
I'm sorry. They got draft picks.
Well, yeah, other than after the draft picks. Everybody's got draft picks. I'm saying
when you got the picks they got, you don't need to add anybody.
Plop them right in the rotation. Alex Tui and Will Richard right into the rotation. Why not? Why not?
So I've been told by a couple of people that the Warriors are expecting Al Horford to sign.
Mm-hmm.
Now, obviously, you know, as you've heard over the years, until a deal is signed, it ain't done. But it looks like this Kuminga thing is holding up everything because if he's gone and there's more money available, I imagine, of course, players will want that, right?
Like, Well, also, yeah, I mean, if they sign Horford with the taxpayer mid-level, it you know, jams up against the second apron. You can't go to second apron. You're hard capped. So I think that's part of the math, although I find it really hard to, you know, it doesn't really work that Kuminga would get enough in any way that would bring them over to second apron. But I think they have to at least be wary of that. But, you know, how long can Al Horford wait here, MT? I mean, can he just wait forever? At some point, he's going to, like, I need to know. Or unless he's been told, we are signing you.
Yeah, I mean, if that's the case, he could wait. Especially if he might get some more money out of it. Yeah. If it's like, listen, if you wait, this thing can shake out where you get more money. Right? So, clearly nobody's in a rush.
No, I mean, obviously.
The Bradley Beal thing just worked out. Everything is kind of going at a protracted pace. Like, nobody – there was this frenzy before July 1. Like, all even like, yeah, and a lot of extensions, and then it's kind of slow. The thing I want to talk about is whether or not if you're the Warriors – How good does the deal have to be for you to make this move? Because, you know, just from what you hear, from what I've been told, there's some interest there. There's clearly some teams that would like Kuminga, but either he's not finding the salary he likes, or the Warriors must not be happy with the deal. So it's very clear they're not just going to dump Jonathan Kuminga, and no. They never were, and it just doesn't benefit them. But it seems like they could make it. Like, at what point, like, what do you need to get in return to make you pull the trigger?
Yeah, I mean, it's been out there. Maybe, you know, a first round pick probably doesn't even have to be a great first round pick. But that's the problem, is it isn't just a straight trade, right? It's got to be three teams, unless you're trading them to somebody. You know, some team that can absorb double the cap hit that the Warriors can take back. I think it's a player that can either go into the rotation, certainly not at the beginning of the rotation, but towards the back end immediately, who's on under contract, is not old, or a first round pick. I think one of those two. I think they're asking for both, and I don't know that they've been offered one or the other, but I think one of the two things, and like Devin Carter theoretically thrown out there by Sacramento. Again, you need a third team. I assume you could figure out a way to get a third team involved in that. But then if you get a third team involved, then the Kings or the Warriors would have to add another thing, right? That third team has to be enticed to do this. So, and I don't think Devin Carter is – you think Devin Carter is even close to good enough for the Warriors to want to do that?
That's what I think. It's a player, but it's a player that they're going to want long term. I don't think they're going to give it up for a player who might be okay. I think they want somebody who's like, okay, I'll give up Kuminga for that, because otherwise you can sign him and you might get a better player in February.
Yeah. Well, here's the problem.
And also you might need him.
Yeah. Here's the problem. If it comes down to it, and we've all said it, he could just sign the qualifying offer, $7.9 million.
Has anybody ever done that?
I think it has been done, but it's rare.
That's a lot of money to walk away from.
However,
even if it's 2 for $40, less than what he wanted, that's still not
$2 for $40. I don't know that 2 for $40 is out there, MT.
I'm just saying I'm sure he could get it from somewhere. 2 for $40 is not that much money.
Not as a restricted, you know. Then the Warriors should say, okay, we'll match, so nobody's going to offer it to him.
Exactly. But I'm just saying, if he got 2 for $40, he would. You turn that down for $9 million and the risk of injury, like that's.
But you do become a free. You do become a free agent.
Yeah.
The problem with that for the Warriors, and maybe even for Kuminga, is then you can't trade him for. You know, you cannot trade him on a 1 year deal. So this becomes a problem because he doesn't get enough money he wants. The Warriors can't trade him. I think they would be looking to trade him at that point. It almost really sets up for the Warriors to sign him to a multi-year deal for a little bit more than that, or, you know, maybe a lot more, whatever the negotiation is, so they can trade him. Like, that's the point, is to trade him, I think.
Yeah, yeah. But that's also Kuminga's, like, leverage is to say, I don't have to sign it. Exactly. I can sign my QO and kill your plans.
Exactly. But then he takes less money. Like, it's just this total, it's like a seven-way staring contest with all these different elements in the air. The problem for Kuminga is that there's not this two-year $40 million deal that the Warriors have to match. It's not there. So, like, I think
I don't know. I think it might be there. I just think teams will know it'll match.
Well, they have to put to put the sign and trade together too. Like if you're going to do it, you have to say, okay, here's how we do it, like the way Milwaukee did it, and like, we're just going to figure out how to get this cap room, and we're going to sign Miles Turner. Like, someone's going to have to figure out these machinations to either get the space, which I think was almost impossible at this point. Although Milwaukee was almost impossible. That they were going to stretch and wave and stretch Damian Lillard to get that space. Then they're going to have the other team is going to have to figure out a trade, and the Warriors are in that discussion, right? So there's all these different things out there. There's no contract for the Warriors to match. It's not out there. There's no offer out there. So you almost have to negotiate against yourself or against the, you know, willingness to make sure that things are like, don't go into camp. Like, what if this goes into camp, MT? I mean, what happens then? Like, these are things that are now on the table. Little 49er like MT. Like, this is getting a little, like, this thing's just going to go on and on and on in a very un-NBA. Like, NBA does weird things. There's weird negotiations. There's tension. There's awkwardness. But it rarely extends like this. It happens in a flurry. Then the season starts. And then weird things start to happen once the season. Very rarely.
Not for players of this caliber. Right.
Yes. Yeah.
Normally, that'll happen for guys at the end of the bench. They gotta wait till August, right?
Like, yeah. Well, like, yeah, GP2, like, you know,
first round picks. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, GP2, other players out there, but yeah, not first round picks, not lottery picks, not guys who, you know, can score 24 in a playoff game when the Warriors really need to score. Like, that's a talent, but that's also the problem. The Warriors aren't just gonna let them go. The Warriors are gonna have to make a discussion. You know, someone's gonna have to say, here's what you want out of this deal, somebody, and that has not happened yet. I don't know how it happens. Again, we keep saying it because of the base year compensation thing. Any team can't just go, here, let's sign you, JK, here's the deal. You'd have to work with the Warriors because the Warriors can match
it. Yeah,
and you'd have to find a third team because the third team is the one that answers the base year compensation stuff. It's problematic. I think we all think it seems likely that he's coming back to the Warriors. It's just going to be on what that is going to be. If it's the qualifying offer, they're going to go a whole year with John Kuminga on the team, which may or may good, which maybe won't be good. Feels like he's pretty much, you know, feeling like it's his time with the Warriors is over or would be better off if it was. Feels like the Warriors are trying to woo him back and at least be open to the fact that he could come back.
I don't think he yanks enough to take the qualifying offer. That's
you do. It is something, a threat of the Warriors. Like, if I take this, then I'm a free agent. You get me for, you know, you lose me for nothing. If there's going to be more teams
you also stand the risk of entering into free agency unrestricted, like on the bench because the coach isn't playing you.
Yes,
like you know what I'm saying. Like that, like not to mention even like injury, but just. Like there's no telling if the last thing people see is a playoff matchup that Steve Kerr doesn't think he's a good fit in, and he's going into unrestricted free agency on the bench.
Well, like, if qualifying offer was a really good option for JK, he would have signed it by now.
Yeah, he would have.
And it's just not. And because he didn't start enough, it's a lower number. It's 7.9 instead of like 12 something. So, you know, that doesn't seem like much, but it's still $4.5 million, right? I mean, that's not nothing at this point. I don't know. I mean, you get a sense that the Warriors are getting tired of this, or that they're willing to just play this out.
I think they're willing to play it out. They're willing to wait because, and you know, I know a lot of fans won't like this, but it's a very clear and easy ideology. If they come back with the same lineup they had last year, except you're replacing Kevon Looney with Al Horford, and you're adding somehow or another, I don't know who he'd be replacing or if you just add in, but you're adding De'Anthony Melton. They're not going to feel bad about that.
No.
They're not going to feel bad. As a matter of fact, they probably feel better than most feel about the team they have coming back because they ended the season thinking, man, if we had Steph, right? So, again, you get Jimmy Butler, you get Steph, you get Draymond Green in training camp. I'm not saying they're going to run through the West. I'm saying that's a thing to pacify yourself with. Like, that's a – you can go into camp thinking, hey, we're all right, and you still got February looming when – that seems like the direction the NBA is headed. The trade deadline becomes the active. If everybody's just re-signing extensions and nobody and the second apron is keeping people from moving, the trade deadline is the.
Oh yeah, I mean, think they would think they could do something in the trade deadline. I think they would really think that. I don't know what I mean. What the thing they've had to trade is Kuminga, and if he's on the qualifying offer, you can't trade him. If
I mean, but they just give him 25 a year just to hold the salary cap spot, right? Like, that's – you can't let that walk. You could just say, hey, here's 3 for $75. Here you go.
Two plus one. How about 2 plus one?
And then trade it, and now you got that slot.
Yep.
Because remember, they already gave up the Chris Paul slot, which was $30
million. Yep.
Right? And you kind of want to hold – You know, you need to be able to feel that somehow.
So you can trade them for somebody making $25 million.
Yeah, exactly.
I would think you give them the number up to like the first apron, whatever that number is. I think they're like 24 under the first apron at this point. You get say, okay, that's that might be the offer. Like, here, 2 years plus one, you know, two plus one. Yeah, and then you figure it out in December. Maybe he's traded in December, or maybe he's traded in the offseason, or maybe MT
or shot maybe ball shots.
He's
it.
So good.
Yeah.
Work out so well. They whisper in his ear, hey, you know, Steve Kerr's only signed for one more season this season. I don't think they'll do that part. That part, I don't think. I am joking about that part. But
I think that's something Kuminga's people are very aware of.
Well, yeah. They can be
very aware of Steve Kerr's contract. Would they be wrong if no major move has happened? Jonathan Kuminga came back, and you've got Steph, Jimmy Butler, Draymond, and you know, pick Buddy Hield or Pods, Kuminga. You know, that's just I'm sorry, Al Horford as your starting five with Kuminga and one of the other two coming off the bench.
Yeah, Melton.
Yeah, if you get a Melton, right? Would they be wrong to think we're all right? That ain't terrible.
I'm Jenna Fisher,
and I'm Angela Kinsey,
and together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
No, I mean, I think they're right that they were good at the end of last season. They were good enough to beat the Rockets in game 7 on the road. I don't know if they will do it this year with what the Rockets have added. But I think, yeah, it suits Steph Curry, Draymond Green, and Jimmy Butler to play it out. It does. And they do owe them. They're still good enough to play it out instead of trying to jam things in there that don't quite fit or you don't know if they're going to fit. Now, if you have Kuminga still on the roster, that's the problem. But if you can't trade him for something better, what are you going to do? It comes to the point is, do you consider like pulling the qualifying offer at some point?
You better off playing him at this point.
Well,
you got a 30.
What if he doesn't sign it though? Now he doesn't have to sign this MT, so he could just be unsigned all the way into camp. He still could be.
Yeah, he could, but in the end, I mean, he could play hardball. The Warriors play hardball. You can't get in your feelings about that, but. If they don't have him, not only do they lose a critical piece, but they also lose any insurance for if Steph Curry and Jimmy Butler gets hurt.
Yep.
Like, that's gone. Now it's like, Pods, this is your squad.
Pods, right? Go. Like, go, Pods, go.
So, and
Alex Tui, go crazy, yeah, right? Alex
Tui. We saw what happened without Steph and how good Jonathan Kuminga was and when they switch.
Well, that's the point. When you say, would the Warriors be okay with that and with Kuminga on the bench on a short term deal? Well, yeah, because then you would think they could trade him. That's what you would think. That's their improvement. Yeah. The whole summer, what we've said going into this about the Warriors is that their main way to get better is to either feature Kuminga or to trade Kuminga. More likely the latter than the former, but that's it. So just not having him leave for nothing is.
Yeah, it might just be running it back like it was for one more.
Yeah, for a few months at least. For at least
a few months, yeah.
I don't think they could. Can you trade him? Like, if you don't sign him till August, does that back up the trade date? I think it does until January. You know, again, you probably wouldn't trade him till January anyway, but like, this is going so long. I think it's 6 months till the time you sign. So, like, we're getting, remember the Markkanen thing last year? Like, he had to sign by a certain, if he signed after a certain date, I think it was August 3rd, that meant he could not be traded at the trade deadline. We're getting there. This Kuminga thing is approaching that time where maybe he signs it after and they can't trade. I don't know. It is a very confusing situation unless you just look at the big picture saying the two sides are stuck. They're going to have to figure out how this happens. You know, what Slater reported, there could be a sit down in Vegas. I don't know that that's happened, you know, with Dunleavy, Kerr, Kuminga and his agent. I don't know how much can be done at that point. I don't think the two sides, well, let's take Dunleavy out of it. I don't know that there's the good faith among that group.
I don't know, man. If they give this dude the money and say, just be patient. Like,
what kind of money? What kind of money? You're saying 2 and 40, 2 and 45?
I think the number's higher than that. I mean, if you just look at the deals that are out there, the number's just higher than that. But I don't know the other team.
Yeah, those are guys who've actually done some things, though, right? I mean, I don't want to
downgrade. Are they, though? Santi Aldama just got 17.
I'll give Kuminga more now.
Duncan Robinson got 16.
Who did?
Duncan Robinson got 16.
I'll give Kuminga more than that, but not a lot more than that.
I mean, the one where you like, that might hurt Kuminga's market is the kid Alexander Walker. He got 15.
Yeah.
It's like he's a good player on a – playoff. Oh, good team. But the rest of these, I mean, Dennis Schroeder got 15.
He's a restricted free agent. That's the problem with this. He's a restricted free agent. And the Warriors have control of this. And that's a problem for everybody. I think it's a bit of a problem for the Warriors. I mean, Slater and I've said this a couple times. It really might have helped the Warriors if they just had signed Kuminga last year. Even if it's for 2 months.
Oh, yeah, no question.
They just have this money down. Question. He's like locked in. We can do with him what he wants. He's paid. He's relatively happy. As long as it's not 30, and maybe it was going to cost 30, but, you know, if it was 26.
26 30's 20, the new 25, all I'm saying. 30's the, like, these numbers are going crazy, man.
They are.
Like, well, I mean, the Amazon money coming in. You know,
cap going up, yeah, no question. But whatever the number was, just sign him, and then you can trade him. If they had signed him last summer, they would have been able to trade him this summer by now. No question. It might not have been for great stuff, but it would have been for something. This restricted free agency just mucks up everything, and it just puts barriers into everything you kind of want to do, especially for a player who isn't, you know, incredibly valued around the league. He's valued, but not at this super high level. I would have thought Giddy would have had a deal by now, but again, restricted free agency.
That second apron is changing things. It's really making teams pause before they just throw a big.
You need to really be a difference maker for them to ignore this. And Giddy and Kuminga are pretty interesting test cases, and neither one of them is passing that level. And you know, Giddy's a guy starting. He's starting point guard for a team. You know, Kuminga's not a starter. Guy can score. He can, you know, obviously has incredible athletic talents. You would have thought at least one of those guys would have been able to figure out how to get a deal by now, and it has not happened. I don't know what the Bulls ever are doing. You would think, you know, they want them, they need them. Just sign the guy, and then you can still trade him in a year. I don't understand how they don't get that part either, but they never do. The Bulls are wandering in the darkness.
Well, so there was a buyout of Bradley Beal, and you know, according to Shams, he's going to the Clippers, and that was a player you like. Hey, You know, could he go to the worst? These bio guys don't seem to be taking the minimum, by the way. You see what Dame got?
What is that?
You see what Dame got? Dame got 3 for 42.
I know that's against the money that he was already making. I don't know what Portland was exactly bidding.
Hey, man. Hey, that's how we do it from East Oakland. We get all the
good
money.
I mean, listen, I thought Dame would have been a really interesting fit with the Warriors. It would have been a tough one, and they couldn't have gone to that kind of money. I'm just saying, if you could have got him for almost nothing, that would have been interesting, because then you could go, okay, Steph, you got 2 years. That second year might be a huge one, but that's not going to happen now. I thought Beal would have been an interesting thing for the Warriors, but again, they can't. They're going to be bidding with teams that are bidding him up. It would have been it would have been for the minimum. Like that.
Well, there's another one out there potentially. If you listen to the rumor mill, somebody who might get bought out.
Not the guy in LA.
Might be willing to take the minimum.
It's amazing
how this. I mean, LeBron's not going anywhere, but it is amazing how this thing builds steam with him.
He loves
it's insane.
I don't know if he loves that take the minimum part though. I don't think
it just
he likes
grows though. I mean, yeah, LeBron's a billionaire. It's doesn't matter, but it just grows and it doesn't go away. And it's like every time, but it is fascinating to contemplate.
Well, you know, the Warriors owner is always contemplating it. You know,
no question. And you know, if you're Bron and you're like, all right, this is what y'all want to do, I'm out. You know who we want to play with. We all know this. We know he'd love to play with Steph, right? I mean, it's just a natural fit, but.
He just did about a year ago.
And seemingly loved it, right? Yeah, and
he liked it. Yes. I think he liked it.
So, yeah, that is interesting. And it just brings up the other point. Like, is they got the star in Jimmy. Do you think that – how long is that enough? Just the Bradley Beal talk, the Dame talk, you know, the LeBron pipe dream. You know, the real pipe dream out there is still Giannis. Do they just want to collect? Dunleavy seems to like
Jimmy.
He likes Jimmy, but he also likes the players he drafts, right? Those kind of do a little bit of everything, less about the hype, more about the the pods, those types. He seemed to love those types.
Yep.
Are they just gonna go star hunting? Like in February, is that what they do? They just go.
Yeah, let's star hunt in last February. But I think
they got Jimmy.
Yeah, I've asked about this a little bit with no definitive answer, but they really like they would have to trade Jimmy to get LeBron, unless LeBron's bought out. And you wouldn't. I don't think LeBron.
And imagine if you had that Kuminga deal if you signed him before.
Yeah, there you go. That'll be a different question. But that was the whole LeBron chase when they had Clay and CP expiring. Like you could use that money. It was like free money to use in a trade. This is different. I don't think they would trade Butler for LeBron, and they could. Like that would be the money situation. And I don't think they would. The LeBron thing brings too much. He's a better player than Jimmy, even at 40, going to be 41. I just don't think the fit is exactly right. Although I didn't think the Jimmy thing was going to be the right fit, right? Until like 3 weeks before? Dunleavy was sure, but I don't think very many other people in the organization were sure.
I don't know, TK. Yeah, you're right about that, but I'm just saying, like, you saw what Jimmy did to this team, just the energy it brought, the attention it brought. What if they got it? They got LeBron. This is bigger than basketball. If you got LeBron, the Warriors are back at the center of the universe.
I'd want it.
And do the Warriors want that?
I don't know that.
They'd be the center of the basketball universe.
Yes, they want that. They would, but what do you then? You have to give LeBron a 2-year extension. Yes, you'd have to. Absolutely. It's a question. I don't know. I know they were always intrigued by him. They were intrigued by him in 2016 when they lost in game 7. They were intrigued by LeBron. Now, they ended up signing Durant, which I think was actually quite good for them. But I don't know.
They take Durant, too.
They would take Durant over LeBron. They would. But I think that one is an interesting thought exercise. Was much more possible when they had the money they could move, which was Chris Paul and Klay Thompson. They just don't have that money unless they just trade Jimmy Butler. It's again, they could.
It's an interesting thought.
LeBron's always an interesting thought, and put him with Steph. No question. Would be wild. Why not get Tim Bontemps to move to the Bay Area and all that stuff that we did 7 years ago, 6 years ago. No, 9 years. That was nine years ago.
9 years ago. Yeah.
But the other thing, and people make fun of me for this, like I'm saying, one of the reasons they're not trading future first round picks other than the one they traded for Butler. It's like, what if Giannis becomes available? Now, you don't have as much to bid up as Houston and all these other teams, but what if Giannis says, I want to go to the Warriors. And guess what contract you'd have to trade if you could get Giannis? It would have to be Jimmy Butler. Like, this is – so these are things
– there's another player. A couple other
players. Draymond plus.
Draymond or whatever Kaminga.
Yeah, I mean, there's ways, but you would play that position. That's position, you know, like just – I don't know.
You sound like the Brooklyn Nets now. Just stay alive, just in case, for Giannis.
No, I wouldn't do that. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, do you really want to blow that opportunity for a 41-year-old who could screw up everything, who could screw up the entire locker room, who could be great? I mean, I'm not ruling it out. If you get him for the buyout, like then, yeah, absolutely. But he wouldn't sign for the minimum, even if he's bought out. You know that, MT. He'd want another 30 on top of that, LeBron.
I'm just saying, if anybody could take the minimum, it's like the billionaire.
He could, but when has he ever done, when has he ever done anything like that?
When has he ever been 41 and had a chance to play with Steph?
He's doing this because he didn't get the extension from the Lakers. That's why he's doing this. It's not because there's anything other going
on. Hey, what did George say? I'll take $1 million from everybody else, but you got to pay me 40. That's what
he told the I think LeBron would say that to every team, not just the team he's on. Whatever. It's certainly worth a thought exercise. And I'm not saying it's a super, super clear decision on that one. Every team's going to be enticed by LeBron. I'm saying I've kind of asked around on it, around the question without asking it specifically, because I never answer that straight up. Would you trade Jimmy Butler for LeBron James? I've just been told by them very specifically they love Jimmy. They love that he had a, you know, disruptive reputation.
What you have to say when it's hypothetical.
Yes, yes. But I just think that there are other things that are possible. I don't know that LeBron is the one that you want to sell everything. And you wouldn't even be selling out everything because it would be a short-term contract. You could trade, you know, whatever. You could trade him to Cleveland or something, whatever. But I don't feel that one. Like, I think they would have to feel it for them to really, really be ready for that. But, yeah, if they get Kaminga in at 25 and you can go – well, then you wouldn't be trading Draymond to get LeBron, though, because Draymond is one of the reasons why LeBron would want to come here. I don't know. We're talking through a lot of different things. I think the likeliest is.
I mean, but if you're saying you wouldn't trade, and I'm not saying you're wrong. You hear the same thing. They love Jimmy. But if Jimmy is hey, I wouldn't give up Jimmy for LeBron. That means you're pretty good going into next season.
Yeah,
you're pretty good. Like, if that's the thinking.
I mean, does if you get LeBron for Jimmy. Are you a championship team?
The question is, are you closer than you are with Jimmy?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm not sure.
I mean, defensively, to me, it'd be tough. It'd be tough to match what Jimmy has brought defensively. It's the offensive place that.
And LeBron's with Luka right now. And granted, that's not that's not a championship team. Like I don't want to run down LeBron James. It's freaking LeBron James, but. I think you shorten the window, the Curry window, this thing that they have to be on their minds 24/7, urgent, 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 red light. I think you shorten that window if you get LeBron 40 years old. You don't extend it. Now, I'm not saying they extended it by getting Jimmy Butler, but they made sure that they had a shot for the entire time that the window was open. You might say the same thing about LeBron. I don't know. I just think at some point that thing's going to, you know, there's going to be a major fall off. It's incredible that it hasn't happened yet with LeBron. There are times when, and you know what? I think you and I see LeBron at his best. When is LeBron at his best?
Against the Warriors.
He's incredible against the Warriors. He's just fucking incredible against the Warriors. So, and that's what Joe Lacob sees. And that's what, you know, like, what can you say? And I don't think the Lakers are. Well, I mean, look, listen, the Lakers are in control of this at some point too. They'd have to buy him out or trade him, and I don't think they're doing that right now. I just don't think so, and I don't think LeBron even said. I don't think LeBron necessarily wants.
I don't think he's going anywhere. Yeah. I don't think he's going anywhere.
Maybe at the end of the year, but then he's going to want $58 million.
If you're the Lakers, why would you do it?
You wouldn't do it. I mean, why just play it? Unless you could get, and I wouldn't necessarily want Jimmy Butler. I'd want somebody a lot younger if I could possibly do it. You know, I'd go, okay, Cleveland, Evan Mobley's a pretty good player. You know, I'd do.
If LeBron wants more money and more years, the best thing for him to do is go out and be amazing, which benefits the Lakers.
Yep.
Right? Like that's.
And he's got Luka. Like, that's the weird thing, is the thing that's causing this, I think, at least in LeBron and Rich Paul's mind, and they're probably true, is that the Lakers, you know, whole mood is turned to LeBron. Well, that should be a good thing for a 40-year-old player. Like, this is we got a great, this incredible young Hall of Famer now. This is great. Let's go. And instead, it's caused awkwardness and tension. I understand that sometimes, but you know what? This is going to sound
reportedly.
But come on, Rich Paul's statement was nobody's out there saying that's wrong. In fact, the statement backs it up. This is gonna, I hate going this hackneyed stuff, but I do think MT is like, Jesus Christ, Steph has never had a moment of this in his entire career, and he could have done it 15 times, and it's never been a thing. Like,
look, and I've tried to get him to do it too. Like, please,
you can do it. Here you go.
Great scoop for me. Yeah.
And
hey, the recorder's ready.
He's had, you know, he's put pressure on them tacitly, but he signed the most he could, you know, for the most years he could sign when he could. He's backed them up. They've won.
Well, last year he took 1 year less, or the last time. Remember, he could have done 3, and he took 2. Yeah.
And he could do 1 this year, right? He could do 1 more, but I think they're going to play. But you got that over 36 rule too, which confuses things. But he's never done this. You know, my team, do this. You got to get that guy. Like, he's made suggestions. They've listened to a lot of them. Sometimes they haven't listened to them. But who was it? Avery Bradley? Was that?
I do think that helps. I do think Steph recognizes, like, maybe some of the ones he really was, like, in on. Like, I mean, they were in on Paul George.
Yeah,
that looks like a save.
Yeah,
I do think he recognizes, like, maybe, you know, the players aren't always spot on this, and so I will give my take. But if he trusts whoever's voice he's talking to, then, like, I think he'll a little bit listen more. I don't think the misses just go away for him. You know what I'm saying? Like you said, like GP2 and Avery Brad. I think that stuff matters. Yep. Like, he's like, I can't be that hard on this one.
Yeah, and as long as they don't, then he knows they are trying to get guys like Jimmy Butler. Like, as long as he knows that. It would be different if they keep, no, and they don't add. But, you know, Pajemski, for all his, you know, ups and downs, is a really good draft pick. And, you know, Quinton Post could be a really good draft pick. And Jimmy Butler. And if they, you know, they did sign D'Anthony Melton, who was really good for 4 games before he got hurt. They bring him back if he's good. Buddy Hield.
Justinian Jessup, you know, great. My fault.
Isn't he blowing up in the Australian League too? It just tells you, though, how much stability having your best player, the best player in franchise history, not do this stuff adds. Like, it just, you never have to talk about this stuff. You don't have to worry about it. It has brought peace to this franchise for a lot of years, even when it could have been really unruly. He came in the middle of the most disruptive time and worked his way to, you know, got this franchise to where it's been, and has not tried to bully everyone. It's not tried to make things uncomfortable. It's a huge deal. It's a Tim Duncan thing. That's what, you know, Kerr talks about Tim Duncan. That's why the Spurs won for as long as they did. And the Warriors now, you know, that 22 championship, MT, man, how big does that feel as each year you get further away from it?
It's just that
might be their big one. And the first one is always going to be the most special, is a breakthrough. But that 22.
The one that makes them different is 22. Right? Yeah. The one that sets them apart.
It's when they won it without Durant. They win 2 with Durant, and they win 2 without him. If it had been like 3 with Durant and 1 without him, it would have been very tilted towards the Durant.
Or they would have to just do like 5 or 6 together and go down as a duo. Yeah, like that's what they could have done.
But that didn't
happen. I do feel like there's a lot less angst because of 22. I mean, it almost you know, is the reason they're in the situation, because they're chasing 22 as well. But also, there could be a lot more patience because they'll always have 22, right? Like, they'll always have this thing they accomplished, which, you know, what is it? It'll be 4 years ago at the end of the season. Yeah. If they don't, if they didn't win that, now you're looking at, man, it's been 8 years since you won. You know what I'm saying? It's been 10 years. Yep. That's the crazy part. Like, that was 4 years after their last title, and, you know, 3 years after they went to the final. Yep. Hey, I'm gonna go over some of these free agents. Tell me who can help the Warriors.
Go.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Malcolm Brogdon.
Yes, I've always liked Brogdon.
Brogdon's 32.
Yeah, almost. He came out old. He was an old rookie.
Jeez. So,
yeah.
Almost 33, I think 32-6, so he'll be 33, but season start, my goodness. Former Warrior Chris Boucher.
I think so. Maybe, you know, there's some certain fundamental stuff maybe that he doesn't do great, but how about him as an eighth man, MT? You got to think he would fit some of this stuff. Just kind of that wild card shooter, shot blocker. That's the kind of stuff.
He's another guy who just torches the Warriors.
Yes, yeah, exactly.
Where he makes five threes every time he plays the Warriors.
Yep. I wouldn't think they would want him to be like a 24-minute guy, but like as a 14-minute guy, I think that would be a very interesting player. I have heard no, but I think he would be an interesting player for them.
Yeah, they don't like. Like, they're not, they never were big fans of him, which is weird because
he was on their G League team. Yeah.
But I mean, he shot 36% from three last year.
He can shoot.
It's a bit of an anomaly, but
he can shoot. He can shoot.
Yeah, he can shoot it, but yes, for some reason, he's just not like a type of guy they like.
They pass the ball, rotate on defense. That's the stuff that they like.
Nah, he just likes to come in. He protect the rim, hit some threes, maybe a couple dunks. All right, here's an interesting one. Chris Paul.
Yeah, he would fit. Absolutely, he would. I don't think he's coming, but absolutely. Do you think Chris Paul could fit on this team?
Chris Paul could fit on any team, but
yeah, absolutely. I think they'd like him back.
I think now he'd be less inclined to be like, this should be my team. But he was so great.
Yep.
When he was great in the locker room. Like he worked wonders. He's an interesting one. Trey Lyles.
I've always liked him. You know. He's gone through his ups and downs, but just shooting five, my goodness, like that could really somebody who could, you know, play with Draymond. Like, you're always looking for that. You're just listing guys off my list. Like, these are solid fits if they could get them for really cheap.
I'll take Trey Lyles in the day. Like,
it seems like team's sour on him, right? Don't you think? Like, I always see him come out there, he hustles, he makes shots, and they go, this guy should be able. Then he drops out of the rotation.
I remember he was at Kentucky, and I was like, hey, you know, everybody was talking about like Willie Cauley Stein, and I'm like, hey, look at this Trey Lyles guy, but somehow it just never.
There's some things that coaches don't love about him. Mike wasn't playing him a ton, right? I mean, there's something there, I'm not sure, but I like him as a talent.
Yeah, he's going to be on the sixth team.
There's something there. There's something there.
No, forget Malik Beasley. He's on there.
No. Jonte Porter, you want to go?
Here's an extra one. Russell Westbrook.
No. I don't think so. I don't think so. I mean, interesting player. I understand his value.
I mean, I just don't think he would.
He wouldn't. They wouldn't want him. Like, just that's like a personality style.
I don't know. I think they'd want, I don't know. Yeah. I think Draymond, Steph, and them, I think they've, you know, after getting Chris Paul, I think they're more like, you know what? Like, we more of a fraternity than
rivals anymore. Yeah. But Chris Paul is this brilliant, you know, you know, leader.
And Westbrook play
Westbrook,
hard.
It was Westbrook space. You're going to play, get a lot of space. Him and Draymond on the floor, you're going to get a lot of spacing on the floor out there. I would not say Russell Westbrook. Yeah. No.
I don't think it's – I just think they'd be a little bit more open to it than I might have thought before.
Okay.
Oddly enough, Doug McDermott is only 33 years old.
Yeah, yeah. I thought about that one. Again, another guy, like you see his shooting, you think he would have like be in somebody's main rotation, and he always falls out of the rotation. Always. Like he goes to the Spurs, you go, okay, there you go. Like it's going to – and like he doesn't play. So that defense must be so bad that they just cannot play him. So, again, you know, as a 10th guy, sure, but does Doug McDermott want to come to the Warriors and be the 10th guy? I don't know. I mean, I think he would. I guess, I mean, I wouldn't be against it. I wouldn't say it's terrible. I just say you wouldn't think that this guy's going to be hitting shots for you in the last 5 minutes of a close game. I saw him on the floor.
Here's an interesting one that I don't think he's your kind of guy. I don't really like his game either, but somehow. Now, he's a guy who keeps getting the job and keeps getting minutes. Cameron Payne.
Yeah, he does. But then he keeps bouncing, and he keeps bouncing.
But he's still, like, when he's on the team, he's getting
shots of playoffs. My God, it's like, what are you doing? He's got talent, not a Warriors kind of player, and not a my kind of player either. Just a shoot first point guard. Like the guy would be on the floor with Steph, and he would take shots. He would take like six shots in 2 minutes with Steph standing in the corner over there.
I can't deal with the turning sideways to shoot. Like it drives me crazy to watch. Like, hey man, point your feet towards the bin. Like, what are we doing here? But that dude gets
shots up.
Yeah, he does it. He gets it done. He's been on a lot of teams too. Monte Morris. Looking at back at third string point guard.
I've liked him in the past. His career is kind of like
spiral, right? Well. Remember he was the game winner against the Warriors?
No, he played well in the playoffs against them in Denver, and I liked him. But he's gone. He went to Wizards, right? And then another team, right? He's like bounced around, and he's like 11th, 12th man now. So I think his career is not headed in the right direction where I would think they would want to invest in him.
A couple more players that interest me in this free agent crowd. Thomas Bryant.
I like,
He actually, I didn't know this about him, watching him with the Lakers, but I did ask when I saw him in Indiana. He's a shooter. Yep. Like, he can – I was like, where is this coming from? It's like, he's been a shooter. Like, I guess he just didn't get to take shots or you didn't get to see him in that role. But, they need a 6'10", about 250 – can shoot. Not a terrible player.
No. I mean, I don't know if you need him when you got Horford, but if they don't have Horford, I was thinking like they would need.
He's
28. Yeah, like. same age as Looney. Yeah, he's
28.
I think that if you have Horford, then you have Horford and TJD and Quinton Post, and that's enough. But. Remember in the days when they used to have six centers, MT? Yeah. I used to love those days. Oh, yeah. Like, what? Does anybody realize that, like, half the roster is centers right now?
You remind me of when we used to do center of attention. Now I'm getting sad. My guy's gone,
James Michael McAdoo.
Yeah, center of attention. Oh, man. It's too soon.
Wait till we have Slater on. Say goodbye. Then you can get your tears out. Then
too soon. This one is also interesting. Just because of his history with the Warriors. Lonnie Walker.
Yeah, well, he signed with Europe, I think.
He did. That's why.
Yeah.
I was like, Lonnie Walker's nobody.
I know. He beat him. He turned that series. That was a huge game in L.A. But, like, people know things because he just
– Daniel Tice,
just nowhere. Like, gone. He's out. Like, nobody wanted him after he did that in the playoffs, MT. Like he has very good playoff
series. It makes it even worse if they got cooked by Lonnie Walker, right? Like
they had nobody to match up with Lonnie Walker. That's what happened. Nobody could guard Lonnie Walker. I thought you were going to give me a Patrick McCaw or something. I thought you were going to throw that one out there.
Last time I saw Lonnie Walker, he was like saving the Lakers in the fourth quarter of a pivotal game.
Yes. cooking the Warriors. They had nobody who could guard him. But then I'd say nobody really wanted him even after that season. The Lakers didn't really want him. So that tells you something. When guys do that and then teams still don't want him, pretty good hint that some spiraling is coming.
I think this is about the best of the team. I mean, it's a lot of players, a lot of old heads, not very many others. The only one that is intriguing for less reasons than I would say Chris Boucher is Bol Bol.
Oh, no. Yeah, the Warriors fans would go insane with that one, and I'd have to keep telling him, he's not very good, everybody. He's not good. And fans would be screaming for him to start. They'd be screaming for him to be an all-star. There'd be, like, Thunder out there campaigning with him. He's such an old Warriors. Again, I love the story. Intriguing player. There's a reason why he's not young anymore, right? He's probably like 26 at this point.
Yeah.
He just isn't that good. It's just, sorry, he's just not that good. Again, 12th man wouldn't be terrible.
He's been in three organizations now in 6 years.
Yeah.
He's had some time.
Didn't Durant like love him in Phoenix? Like, he loved him, but the guy just can't stay on the floor. He's not good. He's not exactly a crisp fundamental player. So, if he was like your draft pick and it was like that, it'd be fun to have around. I don't think you want him like trying to get his veteran contract as the 11th man on the bench. I don't know if he'd be too happy to do that. If he was happy with it, I guess you think about it, but I wouldn't think so. He'd be the most athletic player on the Warriors if they don't have Kuminga by like 10 times.
There's a bit of a freakish nature to him. But I mean, you'd have to be very of the belief, we could change him, right?
You have to invest minutes in him, and the Warriors just don't do that. They just don't invest minutes in guys.
Can you imagine if you got on the team and Kuminga was going to set Lee Bol Bol's get minutes?
Yeah. I can imagine some agent being unhappy with that. I'll tell you that. That's not what they usually do.
Looking like their guys are anybody better than Moses Moody?
Nope. I don't think so. You think Boucher, you got a shot at Boucher being, but no. Brogdon gets hurt too much. I mean, if he's healthy, he hasn't been healthy in forever. So, no. I don't know if the coach would think you need to listen to anybody better than Gui Santos. They're into that. They're into that stuff. This is what they're into. And so,
yeah, guys who would do what Gui Santos does. Some of these guys, if they did it, if they were like on board, you take them, but they probably wouldn't be.
No, if they haven't done it at this point in their career, they're probably not going to do it. They tried the Dennis Schroeder thing. That's kind of like the Lonnie Walker thing. Just get a guy in here and we'll adapt to him and just let him get his buckets, go get five buckets, a half. And it did not work. I don't know exactly why that did not work. It just did not work. And Schroeder wasn't happy. And I wasn't pouting. It just wasn't playing well. And he had to go.
It just wasn't a good fit. And also, he had to adjust on the fly a little bit. Yeah. I mean, which he seemed to do well in Detroit. But
yeah, it's like all the time he was not on the Warriors, he was good. All the time he was on the Warriors, he was bad. And then all the time he was off the Warriors, he was good. It was just this bizarre thing that happened. But we've seen it happen. Like, maybe not that dramatically, but we've seen it happen. Like, you're looking like, this is the guy who was incredible for Germany in the Olympics every year, World Cup, whatever. He's incredible. He cannot be guarded. Like, you go, Team USA goes, oh, boy, we got to guard Schroeder. And then he shows up on the Warriors, and he
it just goes to show, man. Like, fit matters, scheme matters. For those players, some players it don't matter, right? But for a lot of really good NBA players, like who they're playing for, what system they're running, how good they feel in it, it makes the world of difference. And oddly enough, I would have paid Schroeder to be somebody who could adjust because he's played for so many teams. But this was the team he just couldn't do. All right, so Steph, Jimmy Butler, Draymond, perhaps Al Horford, and Buddy Hield is your starting five. Moses Moody, Paz.
Pajemski. Maybe Melt. Kuminga, maybe.
Maybe D'Anthony Melt. Kuminga. Maybe Melt.
TJD, Quentin Post, Gui Santos. Did you mention Moody?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jackson Rowe, you win.
I'm watching Teron Armstrong, inability to even get the ball over half court in summer league, so probably not him. Pat Spencer? They're bringing Pat Spencer back? Who knows?
Gotta bring Pat Spencer back. Just for, you know, you gotta bring Pat Spencer back. That's your third point guard right there.
Yeah, babe, got minutes in the playoffs.
Third point guard right there. I'm with the Pat Spencer.
He got minutes in the Rockets series, right? He got minutes in the series when Steph was healthy. So, yeah, I think they're relatively okay with what they've got. Now, there's going to be some turnover in a year, and certainly some turnover in 2 years.
I mean, the moment they just say this team ain't good enough, like the dream is over, it's going to be massive overhaul.
Yep.
Like it would have to be.
Yep.
But we aren't there yet. All right, I'm going to try to get Slater on for our next episode.
Marcus is going to cry. He is going to cry. I predict this, but we lose Slater. Warriors plus minus goes on. We'll see what we're.
We'll be here.
Yeah.
To discuss all the things the Warriors aren't doing this offseason.
I saw that somebody comment. I forget who was on Twitter. Like Slater made more deals than the Warriors this summer. So
that's pretty good.
Oh, he got so much talent the league had to recognize. All right, MT. Well, yeah, let's do something early next week, and then I got some 49ers stuff. You don't do 49ers anymore. I still do them.
I got reassigned, man. I'm going to USA Track and Field. I'm an Olympics writer now.
The world has changed. The world has changed a lot.
Do us a favor. Like, subscribe, give us 5 stars, share us on social media. Keep Warriors Plus Minus alive. Don't let the departure of Slater kill us. Let's keep it going.
So we're Lonnie Walker's career.
Support us and we got you. Thanks for listening.
Bye.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all The Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.